So here we are in the second month, in the first Sunday of the second month of the new year. And we began this journey of this new year together by asking the question, how do you make this year better than last year? That's how we began the year together. And the reason I say that is next Sunday, we begin another journey toward that with this new series that you've already heard of called Money Talks by our teaching pastor, Andy Stanley. And I'm very excited about this series for a variety of reasons. One of which is that many of you said, hey, for me, for our family, one of the ways that we can make this year better than last is to create some financial peace in our lives. So in this series, over the next three Sundays, Andy's going to unpack some very helpful, practical, biblical solutions and information and principles that will allow us to do that. So I would highly encourage you not only to be here, but to bring your friends and family so that they can hear that. If you've got high school students, I'm telling you, this will be a fantastic series for you to bring them to understand some financial principles. And what we're going to also discover is that when it comes to money, God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And when we discover this, we're going to discover another way to make this year better than last. Now, that's next Sunday. As it relates to this Sunday, today's a pretty big day in the life of our city because not only is it Super Bowl Sunday, but it's Super Bowl Sunday in Atlanta. And interestingly enough, the last time the Super Bowl was in Atlanta was 19 years ago, and the Rams played in the Super Bowl. They were the St. Louis Rams. Now they're the Los Angeles Rams, and they're playing a team that I won't mention their names because of what they did 2 years ago to the Atlanta Falcons. Nonetheless, no matter what happens tonight, whoever wins, they will be given a trophy that's called the Lombardi Trophy. The Lombardi Trophy is named after Vince Lombardi, who was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and as all you football fans know, the Green Bay Packers won the very first two Super Bowls in 1967 and 68. And so what was interesting about, actually 66 and 67, by the way, I was just checking for you Green Bay fans to see if y'all are keeping up with me, so thank you very much. So it was 66 and 67 when they won the first two Super Bowls. Now what's interesting is before the Super Bowls even started, the Green Bay Packers were already champions in the National Football Conference. So here was Vince Lombardi. He had this massively successful team. Many of the players on his team would go on to be in the NFL Hall of Fame, and he would begin every preseason practice the same way. And it would also become legendary. He would stand in front of guys like Bart Starr and Paul Hornung and all these guys that are now in the National Football Hall of Fame, as I mentioned. And he would hold up a football and he would say, gentlemen, this is a football. He would talk about the laces and how it's made, and then he would go into the fundamentals of the game. And what Vince Lombardi was doing is he was saying, hey guys, I know we're champions. I know we got a lot of momentum, but I gotta let you understand we can't lose sight of the basics. We can't lose sight of the vision and mission of what we're called to do. Gentlemen, this is a football. And what Vince Lombardi understood about teams and organizations is that organizations drift gradually. Organizations don't wake up and go, you know what, let's just make terrible decisions today and ruin everything. Now what happens is organizations drift gradually. And one of the reasons organizations and teams and businesses and churches drift off of mission and vision is because they assume clarity. They assume that everyone knows what the mission and vision is. That's why Vince Lombardi would get up at the very first preseason practice and say, gentlemen, this is a football. And let me remind you why we're here. Let me remind you of our vision and our mission. And so every once in a while, I want to stand up here. And I think one of the ways I can serve you and serve this amazing church, and now we've got two locations, is to remind you of what our vision and mission is. I want to remind you of what our vision is, what our mission is, what God has called us to do, and what our main thing is. And here's the wonderful thing about life at Gwinnett Church right now. We've got a wonderful location at Sugar Hill. We've got a wonderful location at Hamilton Mill now. We got volunteers going back and forth. We got staff going back and forth. And it's wonderful, and it's a little chaotic, and you know, so much growth. In fact, just so you know, at Hamilton Mill, our very first Sunday, we had over 2,200 people there, which is phenomenal. And attendance was really strong at Sugar Hill as well, which means that we're reaching a lot of new people. But in all of this, if we're not careful, we can wake up months or years from now and lose sight of why are we doing this. So every once in a while, we got to call time out and basically do this, is remind us what the main thing is. Because the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And so when it comes to serving you, I want to lean into a principle that I learned from Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, and that is leaders are repeaters. Leaders are repeaters. And I've shared this with you before, and I'll make it real quick. But when you go to Chick-fil-A and you say thank you, what do they say back to you? Yeah, my pleasure. They don't say you're welcome. Well, I was at the convention, the Chick-fil-A convention, when I worked at Chick-fil-A in the marketing department, when Truett got up and said, hey, I was at the Ritz-Carlton a few weeks ago, and I said, thank you. And they didn't say, you're welcome. They said, my pleasure. And I thought, what if we began to do that in our restaurants? So from now on, I would love all of us, instead of saying, you're welcome, to have your team say, my pleasure. So we all stood up and he said, thank you. And we said, my pleasure. And we got it. He gets back from the convention, gets in his car and kind of starts driving around, enters in some of the restaurants, ordered a chicken sandwich that he created, by the way, said, thank you. And the team member said, you're welcome. And Truett didn't get mad. He didn't fire off an email. You know what he did? He just said it over and over and over and over and over until about 3 or 4 years in, it really began to sink in to the organization. And every time I hear my pleasure, here's what I think. I think about you. And I wonder if I'm serving you as well as Truett served the mission and vision of his organization in the sense of staying on message. And so every once in a while, I got to call a time out and go, hey, just wanted to let you know what our football is, what the main thing is around here. And so today, I want to talk about that. We have so many new people here at both locations. It's fantastic. Some of you have been here for a while, and maybe you never knew our mission and vision. And for those of you that do, it's helpful for us to remember what the main thing is. So here's our mission, and here's our vision. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we do. And our vision is to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. As you know, vision is what you want to see. It's a picture of the future. And the vision is we want to create a church that people who are far from God that can come in here and understand the love of God. And once they get in here, what we want to do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Now, both of these are symbolized in this way. The mission is symbolized by a tree, and I'll talk about this in just a second. This is how we do this. And the vision is all about for Gwinnett, that we want to be a church that adds value to this community in such a way that whether people come here or not, if they drive by, they go, oh, that church is adding a lot of value to our county, our community. There's something about those people. There's a joy about them that's attractive, that's interesting, that's intriguing. This is what we've been called to do, our mission and our vision. So what I want to do for a few minutes today, I want to talk about how we do this so that you can understand what we do here, how we do it. In all of this, my hope is that as you participate, show up here, you experience something powerful in your life. Because here's the deal. You're too busy, I'm too busy to get up on a Sunday morning or to do the things that we call and ask you to do if it doesn't have a strategic purpose behind it. And I want to assure you that it does. And one of the questions, one of the strategic purposes, if you will, is a question that I want every one of you to ask. And it's simply this, and it relates to our mission. And that is, am I growing? Am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? You know what my hope for you is? Because it's certainly my hope for me. I hope a year from now, there's been so much growth in our lives that we look back on 2019 and go, wow, look at the growth that happened between 2019 and 2020. Wow, look at what Jesus did in my life. And what we hope for you in terms of being here at Gwinnett Church at either Sugar Hill or Hamilton Mill is this. We want you to experience something that Jesus promised in John 15. John 15, Jesus promised this. He said this. He's giving an agricultural example to all this about growth. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So what he's talking about, and we know this, that if you have a vine and you separate the branch from the branch will die. But if you'll stay connected to the vine, wonderful growth will happen. So Jesus is giving us this example. Hey, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, if a man or woman remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. What this means is Jesus saying by bearing fruit, you're gonna grow. For example, this series that we're gonna begin next Sunday with Andy. My hope is that you will experience financial freedom as you begin to apply these spiritual principles to finances in your life. And not only will it help you financially, it will help you in other areas of your life. By the way, just so you know, one of the primary reasons that many marriages end in divorce is because of financial stress and strain. So bearing much fruit is growing in our relationship with Jesus so that it has positive results in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. But all of this will happen if you stay connected to me, because according to Jesus, apart from me, you can do nothing. And as Jesus goes on to this amazing teaching to his disciples and really to you and me, a few verses later, he says this, and basically saying, this is why we do this. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. That when you and I grow and people come up to us and say, you know what? There used to be a lot of anger in your life. Now there's not. There used to be this in your life, and now I've seen this change. What is it that's going on with you? You just seem different. Your countenance, you just seem different. What is it about you? And in that moment, what's happening is you get to glorify the Father and go, you know what? It's not me. Jesus is doing something in my life. I'm staying connected to him, and I can invite you into that kind of a relationship. But just so you know, it's not something I'm doing. I'm simply staying connected to the vine. I'm simply staying connected to Jesus. And what you're experiencing and seeing, it's really not me. It's Jesus in me doing the work. So the issue here is we got to stay connected to the vine, because it's to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing ourselves that we are disciples and followers of Jesus. So our hope, every time you come into any Gwinnett Church environment, that's just not here in a building, it could be in a small group, it could be in a service project, all of that. Our hope is that ultimately you're staying connected to the vine. It's why our church logo looks like this. It's really based on John 15. Now, I'm a former marketing guy. I don't know that a church needs a logo, but as a former marketing guy, we have a logo, so thank you very much. But I want to let you know, you might not know this, there's actually a symbol, there's symbolic reason why this is a tree. It's really connected to John 15, that if we can stay connected to the vine, growth will happen. First of all, this tree here represents the cross. The cross is why growth is possible, because Jesus went to the cross, paid for our sins, and God the Father brought him out of the tomb. He's no longer on the cross. And because of that, if we stay connected to the vine, these circles represent the growth that can happen. Now, the reason there are circles here, maybe you've heard this before, and I sure hope you have, is that we believe circles are better than rows. What we mean by that is while we love rows on Sunday mornings, and that's awesome, ultimately we want you in a small group, in an apartment, at a coffee shop, in your living room, group of people, 8 to 10 people, if you will, that are sitting down and you're doing a life with them. And in this logo, if you will, in this tree, there are 3 larger circles and there are 5 smaller circles. And these 8 circles are basically what we believe is one of the ways that you stay connected to the vine so that you can grow in a relationship with Jesus. And I want to share with you what those circles are. I'm just going to list these really briefly. If you're in a small group, by the way, Andy did a series called The 5 Things That Grow Your Faith. This would be a fantastic small group study for you to lean into. But let me show you the 5 small circles. And what we believe, if I were to have a conversation with you and say, hey, could you tell me your faith journey? How did Jesus grow your faith? My hunch, and there may be more than this, but my hunch is this is the 5 that you would say. You would talk about pivotal circumstances, maybe a pivotal moment, a pivotal circumstance in your life. You would talk about practical teaching when someone opened up the scriptures, and like we're gonna see in the next few weeks, talking about finances, how you can apply biblical principles to something very practical in your life. You would also talk about providential relationships, maybe a mentor, somebody that came into your life. You would also talk about private disciplines, it's coming to church, going to small group, devotion, Bible study, prayer, fasting. And then the other thing you would talk about is personal ministry. Hey, I serve on guest services. Hey, I get around a carpet circle and lead a small group in Upstreet. Or I serve here, or I do this, or you serve a local nonprofit with one of our Gwinnett Intersect partners. All of that is, hey, I've got a personal ministry. And our perspective is that as you do this, what's happening is you're staying connected to the vine. And when the branch stays connected to the vine, growth happens. And we want you to experience this, and we want to reinforce this constantly. In fact, at Sugar Hill, if you'll walk into three main areas, and maybe you haven't done this, and maybe you've been here for many months or years now, if you'll look up right when you come in, you'll see branches hanging from the ceiling. If you go outside, you'll see an artist rendering of the tree. If you go outside to Wombleland right out here, what you'll discover is that there's an artist rendering talking about all of this. But the reason we stress this, the reason why there's imagery around here is we want it to remind you, are you staying connected to the vine? Because apart from the vine, you and I can do nothing. But connected to the vine, much fruit can grow and glorify the Father. So these are the five things, the five smaller circles, the five things that grow your faith. But I want to close out today talking about the three larger circles, which is the three, what we call the three vital relationships. The first vital relationship that we want you to experience is intimacy with God. This simply means that you can have a personal relationship with God. You don't have to go through a priest or a pastor or somebody like me, that because of what Jesus has done, you can have not a religion. We're not here to have a religion around here. We want you to have a relationship with God. That you can bring what's really going on and who you really are to your heavenly Father and let him deal with what's really happening in here so that as you stay connected to him, you grow much to his glory. So an intimate personal relationship with God. You're gonna hear us talk about this all the time. But the second relationship that we want you to experience, the second vital relationship, is community with insiders. Community with insiders. That means for us, what we want you to be is we want you to be around a circle, as I mentioned earlier. We want you to be in a small group. A small group is a group of people that meets, you know, three or four times a month. It could be five people. It could be 8 to 10 people, however that works for you. And you're doing life with this group of people. You're opening up the Bible. You're going through a small group study. You're doing life together, and they are providing accountability, belonging, and care for you. And if Sunday is your only experience, what will happen is that's great, that's awesome, so glad you're here. But the church, Gwinnett Church, will always seem a little distant. It will always be they, not we. And I want you to experience this place as a place that's home for you. Let me give you an example. Just this past Tuesday, I got a phone call. Or actually, I called this couple. This couple's a longtime friend of mine from Buckhead Church when I served there. They're going through a significant health issue right now. They're in a small group, and she said, Jeff, you wouldn't believe this, but our small group came by and remodeled our entire kitchen for us because of the health issues. There was a reason why they did this, and I'm just so overwhelmed that they did this. Now, I hear stories like that all the time. I hear stories like that all the time of how a small group are the first ones to be at the hospital, how the small group was the first one to be there, how the small group was the one that they first called when something happened in their lives. We want you to experience that kind of community and belonging. And if you're not experiencing that yet, the great news at Gwinnett Church is this is the perfect week to start. This week, we're launching Group Launch. And let me explain to you how you get into a group. Group Launch is really, really cool. Here's how you do it. You simply text. I'm going to walk you through how you do this. You text GC Groups to 555-888. In fact, you can get out your phone now and do it if you want to. GC Groups to 555-888. Let me tell you what will happen when you text GC Groups to 555-888. You're going to get a link back. When you go to that link, you're going to hit the link, and then you're going to be able to pick the small group that you want to be in. How cool is that? Now, if you want to be in a men's group or a women's group, we've got Thursday night for you, which is group launch. If you want to be in a married group, Saturday night is the night that you can come. But here's the cool thing. You can actually join a group before you leave the building today. You can go to the link. You can pick your night, pick your group, and you will have joined the group. Then, let's say you want to get into a men's group, and that's what you signed up for. You'll come to Sugar Hill on Thursday night, and you'll have your very first group meeting Thursday night. Or if you've signed up for a married group, you'll come here Saturday night, and you'll have your first small group Saturday night. That is group launch. We've made it so incredibly simple. And the reason this is so important is one of the ways you stay connected to the vine is you have a consistent group of people that you're doing life with. That I have a consistent group of people that I'm doing life with, that if what's happening in my life, if they begin to see me drift, they go, whoa, 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 Henderson, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they call me out. You need that. If left to my own devices, I will be my own worst enemy. That's why I have to surround myself with a group of people who will speak truth and love to me. And you need that as well. And if we're not in a community with insiders, we'll have a tendency to drift. And especially in a church, church will always seem a little distant. And if that's where you are right now, you don't have to be that way any longer because we have group launch this week. Now, for a lot of churches, I grew up in church world, you know, intimacy with God and community with insiders, that was awesome. But it's this third circle in the tree, this third vital relationship that I want to end on today. And that is influence with outsiders. You heard me talk about earlier that our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And our vision is to create a church unchurched people love. Well, that's where this influence with outsiders comes in. This really talks about what it looks like to influence people that maybe aren't even here. So that when we began the church, we began to ask the question, well, when it comes to the church, what is the church? What do people think about when they come and think about the church? What is the church known for? This was in the, before we even had this place, before we even really had a name. And what we began to discover is that when it comes to what the church is familiar with or what it's known for, many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. And so in the early days of our church, even before we had a name, our team said, you know what? We want to be known for what are we for? What are we for? Well, obviously we're for Jesus. That's awesome. So what is Jesus for in our community? Well, Jesus is for, we believe, this county. Jesus is for students, children, families, adults. We believe Jesus is for business leaders, government leaders, community leaders, neighbors. Jesus is for the people in this community. That's what we should be known for. And so in that moment, that's where we began to say, you know what? Let's be known for being for Gwinnett. All of that is based on this incredible verse in John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world. That's really in essence where that came from as well. We want to be known that we are for Gwinnett. And so I challenged our staff with this. I said, years from now, if we decided to close Gwinnett Church, let's say 3 years from now, we said, you know what? It's been a great run. It's been awesome, but I think we're done now. So we're going to sell both properties and give all the money away and just go on to the next thing. My hope would be that principals of local schools and business leaders and government leaders would come and knock on our doors and go, whoa, 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 whoa. And nonprofit leaders would go, no, no, you can't close down. Because if you close down, if the church closed down, our community will suffer. Please stay open. And let me just say, I'm not being critical of any church. I'm just saying from this standpoint. There are churches that close down all the time. And the community outside the church never, ever notices. They just go right driving on by. That can't be our story. I don't want us to close down. But I want this community, whether they attend here or not, to go, you know what? That Gwinnett Church, those people, there's something different about them. There's something wonderful about them. You know what? They actually are for me. They're the most loving, joyful people. That's why I love when you wear your Four Gwinnett, you know, hoodies and sweatshirts and t-shirts. I mean, we've given you so much. I got a gift one time. We give you so many t-shirts. Somebody made a quilt of all the t-shirts. It was amazing. I loved it. It was great. It was awesome. We have given you a lot of t-shirts, all right? But part of that is we want this community as we go out to go, hey, you know what? We're for you. I'll give you a quick example. Growing up in church world, I discovered or had this observation that a lot of times the business world and the church world, they don't really talk. It's like two separate worlds. And growing up in the church world and then going out in the business world and then coming back working at a church, I thought, you know what? I want to bring those two together. I want to have the church impact local businesses because I believe one of the ways communities thrive is through thriving local businesses. So one of the ways we try to do this on our social media platforms at Gwinnett Church is to highlight local business leaders like Carissa Norfleet at Simply Done Donut in Duluth. This is Isaac at Rushing Trading Company, a new coffee shop in Sugar Hill, which is awesome. This is Ricardo. He's got this amazing smoothie in Burrito Place. It's awesome. Love it. But we want to highlight business leaders that go, you know what? Let's go support them and cheer them on. It's another reason why we gave you these little car magnets. And this is so important. And let me just stress this. As you'll see, it doesn't say anything about our church. It doesn't say GwinnettChurch.org, none of that. These little magnets have created so much conversation around our community, along with the shirts and along with you just being amazing people. And let me tell you why. If you're new here, maybe you've heard this for the first time. Hopefully you've heard this if you've been around for a while. We do something called pay it backwards. Pay it backwards. And let me explain this. I've said this a few times, but since leaders are repeaters, let me say it again. We want you to put this on your car. I had an idea, by the way, that while you're in here, our team would go out and just go ahead and put all of these on your car. But I thought that Jesus wouldn't do that, so I decided not to do that, although I'm pretty convinced the Apostle Paul would have done that. But we didn't put these on your car. But when you leave today, our wonderful guest services team will have these in case you don't have them already. We want you to put this on your car. And then this week, we want you to go out, and not just this week, but let's try to make an emphasis this week. As you go through a drive-through, I want you to pay for the person behind you. And here's how this works. Again, just want to say it again. You go to the drive-thru, you place your order, then you pull up a little bit, you roll your window down, and you listen to the order behind you. If they place a catering order for the office, you pray for them and you just move on, okay? Because we're beginning a series called Money Talks next week, all right? But if, as you roll down the window, they say, hey, I'd like a small donut and a cup of coffee, then you pay for them, and then they get to the window, and they're getting out their money, and they're, no, the person in front of you paid for yours. And they think, oh, you mean the Ford Gwinnett car? And I'm telling you, it's a God thing. How then these people get to the office or get to the neighborhood or get to the ball field, and they share that story, and they go, and they're talking to somebody, and they go, oh, yeah, that's my church. I go to Gwinnett Church. What is for Gwinnett? And in that moment, you get to say this. You know what for Gwinnett is? Well, for many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. And the reason the person in front of you bought your coffee is because they wanted to let you know that they're for you, but more importantly, God is for you as well. And in that moment, as we just stay consistent with the Four Gwinnett message, God does what only God can do, and then we get to participate in influencing those that may be far from God. I'm telling you, I have heard story after story after story about how you wore a Four Gwinnett shirt and went into the bank, how you wore a Four Gwinnett sweatshirt and went to the ballpark, how you had your Four Gwinnett car decal and somebody came up to you and said, can I tell you a story about somebody buying a cup of coffee? You think it's a small thing, but encouragement, love, and generosity is never small when you're on the receiving end of it. So how are we influencing those who might not be part of the family of God yet? And here's what happens. We go, well, Jeff, I am a part of the family of God. That's cool. And that's awesome. But influencing with outsiders, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Hey, here's the deal. All you've got to do is put a t-shirt on. All you got to do is put this on your car. All you got to do is just participate with a Four Gwinnett message. And here's the thing. People will come up and ask you questions. And here's why this is important for you. It's not just important for them, it's important for you. This is why, by the way, if you're not currently serving at any of our locations, you've got to start serving. And here's why this is true. When it comes to church, you'll never know what the church can do for you until you experience what the church can do through you. You'll never experience what the church can do for you until you experience what the church can do through you. I'm telling you, and for those of you that serve in Upstreet, you know this is true. When you come to Baptism Bash, when we baptize those Upstreet students, and they thank you in their baptism video, I guarantee you, you will cry like Jeff Henderson and Reed Moore. You will cry like a baby, and you should, because when a fourth grader says, I want to thank Miss Sally for being my small group leader and helping me understand who Jesus is, I'm telling you, that is priceless. For those of you who have given financially here, I just want to let you know, not only have you given to Sugar Hill, but God has multiplied your giving, and now your giving has flowed to Hamilton Mill. I want you to experience that and to say, I'm a part of that. That's why at Sugar Hill, before you leave, if you're not currently serving, I would love for you to go to our Next Step area in the lobby and say, hey, do you have some volunteer needs? I guarantee you we do. At Hamilton Mill, I guarantee you we do. And it's not just about the people that we're serving, although that's critical and vital. It's also about you, because I want you to hear your name. I want your story to connect to someone's story. As you connect someone's story to God's story, there's nothing quite like it. And it's why when we bought the Sugar Hill property, the very first thing we did wasn't to talk about, hey, Gwinnett Church is coming soon. What we talked about was this. We just simply put this sign that said, hashtag for Gwinnett. Well, how are people going to know about when the church is starting and all that? Hey, that's going to come and all that's important. We need to let people know what we're church when we're actually there. But before the building is actually all, you know, all done and everything, we just want, and this sign sat out there before there was anything here. And then before we started the construction over at Hamilton Mill, we draped a big cloth over the former Winn-Dixie sign and said, hashtag for Gwinnett. We are for you. We are for this community. And we want to talk more about you than we talk about us, because ultimately it's not about us. It's about you connecting with your heavenly Father. And it's why today I want to invite you to do something between now and the end of the year. I want you to do what we call invest and invite. Invest and invite. What does invest and invite mean? I want you to think, for those of you that are believers, I want you to think of one person in your life that doesn't know Jesus. It could be somebody at school. It could be somebody at work. It could be a family member, somebody in the neighborhood. They don't know Jesus. And I want you to start praying for them. And I want you to start inviting them to Gwinnett Church. Jeff, are you just trying to make the church big? No, I mean, we already are big. That's not the point. The point is there's a lot more people to reach. But more importantly, I want you to see what God can do. And let me just tell you, typically it takes 7 asks, 7 requests, and finally they'll come. What's interesting about Gwinnett Church Sugar Hill, you might not know this, but on the floor and on the wall behind me are names of people. And those names of people, as this building was being built, the names were people that said, you know what? That's my person. I'm praying that this person will come here. And I'm telling you, I've had such powerful moments when people have come up, they've introduced me to someone, and that person will walk away, and that person will look at me, and they don't even have to say anything. I know what they're saying. His name, her name is on the ground here. Who is that for you? If you're a student today, who in your school can you invite to go to Inside Out or Transit? If you're a family, you've got a neighbor, who can you be bold and ask? And again, you've got another incredible opportunity next Sunday. Hey, we got this incredible financial series. It's very helpful information. Would you come to church with me? Who knows what can happen? But the reason this is so important is that when we do this, when we lean into this, it keeps our heart open to what God can do and what Jesus came to do, which was to seek and save those far from him. And so Gwinnett Church, that's our football on Super Bowl Sunday, our mission and our vision, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus and to create a church unchurched people love to attend. That's why we do what we do. And what I'm here to do is to serve you as well as I possibly can, and just to come up here every now and then, call a timeout and go, just want to remind you, this is our football. This is what we've been called to do. Let's just stay on mission. Let's just stay on vision and watch what Jesus will do. Now, to close, I wanted to give you an example of what can happen when we do that. Last Sunday, I had this incredible story that I want to read to you today. And this couple was on the front row, and they said I could mention their name, and I want to read their story to you. The story actually starts, in many ways, at Gwinnett Church Sugar Hill, but it wound up at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill. I met Shannon this past Sunday. She and her husband were on the front row at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill. And it was amazing. We had this funny moment where she said, I have to tell you, Jeff, that the last time I was here was when I was in high school, when it was a Winn-Dixie. And I had a fake ID and I purchased alcohol. And I bought alcohol with my fake ID at Winn-Dixie. Now, many years later, here I am on the front row at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill. And it's just a surreal experience. So we laughed a little bit about that. And then after the service last week, she said, could I email you my story? And I said, absolutely. And this is her story, which in many ways started here, ended there. And God, this is what God can do when we stay connected, when our hearts are open. For many of you who gave financially, you had no idea that Shannon grew in her relationship in this building with Jesus. You don't probably know Shannon. But you've had an impact on her story because you had enough vision and a heart for Jesus to stay true to the mission and vision that he's given you here. Here's her story, which you are connected to, by the way, by serving and giving here. So, dear Jeff, I'm rarely at a loss for words, but yesterday, meaning last Sunday at Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill, I was left speechless most of the day. I joked a lot in the last few months about how, as a lost and confused teenager, I would buy alcohol with a fake ID at that very Winn-Dixie. Yesterday, and don't miss this, at just shy of 5 years sober, I stood and worshiped with my hands in the air, singing praises about how he makes a way when there is no way. Wow. It feels so good to accept God's invitation. And Sunday service at Hamilton Mill was such a sweet reminder of that for me. Just 5 years ago, I couldn't even speak the name of Jesus without my body having a physical, visceral reaction. I felt so unworthy of his love and grace. I was so angry at the things that had been done to me, the cards that I had been dealt with in life, that I was paralyzed by shame for the things I had done. How is it that the same girl who was so lost, so confused, seeking everything the world had to offer, seeking no way out of life, could stand in the exact same place at that Winn-Dixie, in the exact same coordinates at that former grocery store, and listen to a message about how God loves me, about how much God loves me. He even loves a girl like me. He made a way when there was no way. My chains are gone. I've been set free. He continues to write my story. And to tell my story is definitely to tell of him. I'm just so blown away about how good, how big, and how loving our God is. My husband Patrick and I have been considering the decision of whether to stay at Sugar Hill or move over to Hamilton Mill. While we are still prayerfully making that decision, we're geographically closer to Hamilton Mill, but we have kids in transit and upstreet, and we lead a married small group at Sugar Hill. But we are so grateful for the people of Gwinnett Church and just wanted to let them know the small part of how God is using their faithfulness and their obedience in my life. That's what I want you to be a part of. And I want to say thank you because of those of you who've given financial here, those of you who serve here, I'm telling you, stories like Shannon's are available and they're happening every single week. And that's why we do what we do. We can't drift off mission, because the Shannons of the world need to understand what she now knows. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Let's stay on mission and vision and see what only God can do. Because if you think these first few years are amazing, I truly believe the best is yet to come. Father, thank you. First of all, thank you for Shannon and Patrick for their serving here as a small group leader in their married community group. Thank you for those who've given financially to help this place happen and the student building happen and now the new building over at Hamilton Mill. And God, I want to pray for the people that aren't here, the people that aren't yet a part of your family. May we be a church that continues to be for them and for this community. And God, I want to pray this year that each of us would have one person that we're praying, at least one person that we consistently pray for and invest in them relationally and invite them here and consistently invite them here and consistently invite them here and give us that name, give us that person. And my prayer is that between now and the end of the year, we would see them come here and not just come to church, but to begin to understand who you are and how their story can connect to your story, which always leads to a greater story. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Gwinnett Church, thank you so much for being here, both of our locations. And the final thing I have to say is go Falcons. We'll see you next Sunday.